Succession number 27193, Reel 7.
Sergeant Major Conn, Reel 7.
You've told me about the patrol you'd done at Ricky Vercel.
Ricky Vercel, the Lohnhout, yeah.
The next place you went to is Lohnhout. What was that like? And how did you get there?
Well, as we went up from Ricky Vercel, we advanced up to a place called Eschen. Eschen, right on the borders of Belgium and Holland. And that's when we had a battle then at Nispen, a place called Nispen, N-I-S-P-E-N. And we had a battle there, and that was where I got slightly wounded.
Can you explain what happened in that battle? Were you doing a tactical advance?
Pardon?
Were you in tactical?
We were in a farm buildings.
Yes, but when you were moving towards Nispen, were you going in a tactical?
We had to go across a field.
Across
a field, and we had tank support. And
how were you actually formed for that? How were you laid out on the ground?
Well, we had the battalion laid out. There was A, B, and C companies.
Yes, and we were all in line.
Well, no, one. There's two up front and two behind.
Back.
And we went on and we made the attack on Nispen. Now, in Nispen, I always remember there was a big windmill, and it used to have its vanes in a certain position to let us know if the Germans were in there or not. It was a signal of that, you know. But anyway, they had the artillery support. The Gloucesters, they had to go out. They got hammered and got knocked out a bit. And then we went in and we eventually took it with the South Wales Borders and that, I believe, was in support of us. And that was when I got wounded there.
So what was the ground like on the way to
Well,
Lisbon?
We had to cross a field.
How wide a field was
it? Oh, it was a big, quite a way, quite a big way. It was open ground, you know what I mean? We had to go across there, and there was a little copse on the right, which I always remember, and there's a ditch there. And as we got stonked, I jumped this ditch. One of the chaps got wounded, and I went to him, and I got wounded towards his help.
What was stonking? Was it artillery?
Artillery. And that is when I went down. And, of course, not only that, when I went back to get treatment from the found I had diphtheria.
Oh. Where were you actually wounded? What bit of
you hit in the
side? Was this a sort of fragment?
Just a shrapnel, yeah. And
how did you get back? Did you get back under your own steam?
Well, I did. When I went, it was like if somebody punched us in the stomach, you know what I mean? In the side. And I went down and got up and found out was bleeding, you know. Oh, God. And then the old stretcher bearer came over, whipped us back to the first aid centre. And old Tobiino, one of our stretcher bearers, a regular soldier, knew him very well. Put us in there and he took my temperature. He said, "You've got a high temperature, And he got the old doc in and he said, "Yeah." He said, "I think you got diphtheria." And he whipped us off straight off. Now, they went over to the hospital at Eindhoven.
Had you been feeling unwell before the day you moved
I might have been, but I took no notice of it, you know what I mean? I know that I had a bit of a headache and things like that, you know, and sweating a bit, but
you haven't taken it seriously?
Pardon? Took it seriously, no. And anyway, off the centre to Eindhoven, when we got there, the hospital was full, so they directed us to near Antwerp, a little place near Antwerp. And it was just a first aid post, I think. And we were laid on stretchers in a school. And that was there for about 3 or 4 days. Then they transferred us to Brussels. Got to Brussels, and the BMH hospital was full. So they had an annex, which was the St. Pierre Hospital. And they put us in the St. Pierre Hospital. And that's where we looked after for a long way.
How long were you in there?
About 3 weeks, I think, something like that.
What sort of treatment were you given?
Well, I had the nurses sort of treat us up, you know what I mean, give us pills and one thing or another. And we got well looked after, you know, the nurses.
What about your wound?
Pardon?
What about your wound?
They did that up, and no problem with that. And I thought, well, I've got a blighty one, but they didn't send us back to England.
Had you been hoping for a blighty one?
Well, I thought, yeah, well, I've got a blighty one, you see, and they used to say, well, right off, back to England, but they wouldn't send sergeants back. I found out later, they said, no, the sergeants, back up the line you go, mate. Yeah. Even sent officers back, but never sent us back. So I was there for about 3 weeks or so, and then from there, I went to convalescent at a place called Tournai.
Yes.
That was on the French-Belgian border. And it was in the middle of winter, that. And from there...
What did you do when you were in the convalescent depot? And what was
the procedure there? We used to do route marches, drill and everything, you know. You used to do it on the square. And it was the middle of winter as well, mind you. But anyway, they did exercise and things like that as well to get us back up there.
Sounds like basic training all over again.
Well, that's right. But anyway, there was a couple of Yanks in the same sort of ward as we were. And I always remember, you know, these belly stoves they have, you know, heating up.
And
one of them came up, he said, do you mind if my mate, you know, he's very ill, you know, and he said, I'd like to be near the stove. So anyway, we muddy coddled him a bit, and he didn't realise how badly some of our chaps had been wounded, you know. He just was ill, that's all. He had the flu or something like that. And anyway, I got on with them, and I then visited one of their units at near Brussels. And I went there, and I got a marvellous reception. As a matter of fact, one of the company commanders of the American forces there was an English bloke. He was an English fella, and he came over and he had a good old talk with him. Had a good time with him. Anyway, from there, I was transferred to another place called... Near Brussels. God, what's his name? Hang on a bit. I'll give you the name. I have a letter from my friend in Holland. His daughter went. Guido. Hang on a bit. Just outside of London. Oh, God. Where's your letter? I can even get letters from Canada now. No, no, it's not there. It's just in this. His daughter was going to this university there.
Would that be Leuven?
Where?
Leuven. Louvain?
Louvain.
Yes.
Louvain, that's Louvain, the yes. name of it. Yes. Louvain, that is it. Yes, and I went, I was in Louvain, and it was there, while we were in Louvain, was when we saw the airborne going over for Arnhem. And we watched that. And I was, as a sergeant, I was given a company to guard the Phillips factory.
In Eindhoven.
Yeah, and I was given the job there of guarding that. And for about 5 or 6 days, I think it was really well on that one.
What sort of company was that?
It was a mixture of everybody of the people that was waiting to be transferred back to the units. And that. It was a holding unit.
It was a holding unit?
That's right, in the barracks there.
And based in Eindhoven?
That's right. This was in Louvain.
In Louvain?
Yeah. And I had a company made up by everybody, and off we went. I had to guard this place.
What was the threat to the factory?
Pardon? That was because at that time, the Germans were making the attack in the Ardennes, and they were coming around to take Antwerp. You see, so anyway, that is when Montgomery took over supreme command of the, what they call it, and he sent a composite division down to the Ardennes, and they were made up of I think it was the Scottish regiments and that, Cameronians and that, and they were sent down there, and I believe it was them that split the line up between the Germans, and they broke through there. And of course, this is when they, what they call it, they were trying to get to Antwerp so that they would be able to cut the British army off. But unfortunately, came unstuck, and that is when that fell through. And there was a lot of talk came back at that time about some of them had been down there, and they said in this field, a lot of Americans had been shot in the back, and they were robbed of the shoes and uniforms. And of course, this is when the Germans used to disguise themselves as American soldiers. Some of them could speak American, you know what I mean, like Americans and that. But anyway, that was after it all finished. But of course, you know that the Americans glorified on that, didn't they? You know. But anyway, I was in this barracks, and then I was told by the commandant I was going to be posted to the Argyll Southern Highlanders. And I said, I didn't want to go. I said, I want to go back to my own regiment. I said, I've got nothing against the Cameron Highlanders. That's a fine regiment, but I want to go back to my own regiment. They said, well, they were short of sergeants in the Argylls, and you're going to be posted. I said, well, I don't want to go back. Anyway, at that time, it was late at night, and I saw a jeep come into the barracks, and it had the polar bear sign with our battalion sign on it. And I said, now we're down the stairs. I got on the driver. He knew me straight away. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm going to go back to the battalion if I can. I said, who have you got there? He said, oh, he said, I've got Captain Butler. I said, where have you been? And he said, well, we've been to Brussels to pick him up. Now, he had got special leave, I think it was only 48 hours, to go home. His son was born then. And he came back on the RAF plane and brought him back. And they had to pick him up from Brussels. And he said, I've got Captain Butler. I said, well, where is he? He said, he's just gone into the office. I said, tell him to stay. And I went upstairs, got my kit, packed it in my kit bag, went down there and put it on the jeep. And he came out. Ah, Sergeant Coney, said, what are you doing? I said, I want to go back to the battalion. Have you got clearance? I said, no, but you're going to get it for us, aren't you? So, and he went into the office, and he saw the commander. He said, and the commander told him what had happened. He came out, he said, the post is due to the Gargoyles, he said. Nothing I can do. I said, well, I'm not going. And the sergeant major came out there, you know, a blustering bloke. He said, if you don't go, he said, it'll court-martial you. I said, then nobody gets us, will they? Just like that. I said, why don't you go? I said, let me go back to my own regiment. So anyway, he went down again, and I said, to Captain Butler, have another go. So he went back in, and then he called me in. And of course, I've been talking for quite a while, and he says, you must go. I said, I'm not going. I said, I want to go back to my own battalion. I said, they want sergeants, just the same as anybody else. So he turned around to Captain Butler, he said, what do you feed your Essex men on? Raw meat, he said, take them away, he said. So Captain Butler took us back to the regiment then, dropped us off, and then I reported to C Company, which is the company I was with. Yeah.
Now, can I just go back a bit to the time when you were at Eindhoven guarding the Phillips factory? How many men were there in your scratch company?
Oh, about 120.
And how did you actually use
them? Well, I had to deploy them in different positions, you know, waiting for any attack. And I put them all in different positions, you know what I mean, guarding the roads and the entrances or anywhere. I had machine guns there and brain guns and what have you.
And how did you get them organised? Did you have them sorted out into platoons?
Well, yes, I put them all into sections and things like that, you know what I mean? Mm. The sections and the platoons. Mm. Split them up into about three or four platoons with sections and other NCOs and that in charge of them as well.
How long were you actually on guard?
Oh, about, We were on there for about a week or so, more than that, I think. Yeah. I can't remember, but there was a couple of weeks, actually.
Was there any trouble?
No, we never had any trouble at all. No, it was.
How did you get on with getting resupplied with rations and so on?
Oh, we got no supplies, all right, from the barracks, you know what I mean? They brought it out to us. Mm. Oh, yeah, we had no problems with that. No, nothing at all. And, it was quite. As a matter of fact, I always remember there, I was given a torch by one of the employers of Phillips's, and it was like a hand torch, and it had a lever on, and you press it. It causes so like a dynamo thing, you know what I mean?
And it would work.
Yeah, I had that for a long while.
Was the factory working? Was it producing?
Oh, yes, it was still working, yeah. Oh, yes.
So what you got back to the battalion. What happened when you got back to the battalion?
Well, I reported back and to C Company, and the company commander at that time was a Major Wilkins, but he was away at battalion headquarters. He's doing another job or something. Yeah. And the officer in charge was Captain McMichael, MC. Came from... Mm-hmm. He was a reinforcement from the 11th Battalion, the DLI. And he won the MC with the DLI in Normandy. He's a great fella. And he said... who's that? Here were you, I said. I'm Sergeant Conn. I said, just come up. Oh, he said, I heard of you. He said, I want you to take over your old platoon again, he said. 13th platoon, he said. It's a bit of a mess. And I did. I took it over. Sharp whip him into all that again. And that was it. And
Was the platoon the same men?
The battalion then was in a place called Valberg. Obviously, we called on the island, you know, in between Arnhem and Nijmegen.
But when you got to your platoon, was it the same soldiers?
Oh, no, there was some old ones that was there when I left.
Because you'd been away quite a few weeks.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, I had reinforcements which had come from... Yes. Some came from... they were originally Hurryfords. Mm. And then they went to the Black Watch and they came to us as well.
They must have been a bit confused.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, they were... There was a sergeant then, Dunn, and he couldn't control them. Couldn't control them one little bit.
Why and not? What was wrong with him?
He just wasn't strong enough. And I know that there was an Irishman there, O'Connell. And I had to go around on patrol, visiting the sections. And I went to this particular section. And then there's this corporal there saying, I can't get this fella to go on guard. So I said, what's the trouble? He said, he won't go on guard. He said that this other fella, I can't remember his name, but he'd just come back. He'd been wounded, and he'd been wounded in the head. And it left him with an impediment in his speech, you see, and he couldn't get it out. I said, so good putting him on guard. I said, stuck him like that, he wouldn't get it out. You know, it's challenge anybody. And this fella said, well, if he doesn't go on guard, I'm not going on. He sat on there, on a chair, feet up on the stove. And I said, get on your feet. I said, stand at attention when you speak to me. And he just sat there, and I kicked the chair from under him, and he got up and belted him. And I let him know who he was. And I said, now, get yourself on guard, otherwise I'll have you court-martialed. And I said, is that what you mean? I said, refusing to obey an order, you can shoot you. Anyway, I got him on guard, and that was it. And as I'm walking back with this other corporal, I'm walking back to the battalion company headquarters, good feeling, I just turned around like that. I said, point that rifle at me, make sure you kill it. I said, because if you don't, I said, I'll get you. That was it. But anyway, eventually, on one of our, in Arnhem, he was put on guard by Lance Corporal, he lives in Bristol now. He was a batman for a while. But anyway, he charged him because he fell asleep.
On guard.
Mm. And this was in a place called Wageningen. Mm. Wageningen. And anyway, the corporal had warned him about falling asleep. He said, I'm not asleep. He said, just my eyes were closed. He said, but I was awake. And then another time, one of the soldiers, a fellow called Oliver, got the corporal again, Lance Corporal again, and said, "This bloke's asleep again." So he went there, and he was asleep. He's snoring, in fact. Then he woke him up and he said, "I wasn't asleep." He called him other name. But anyway, came back to me. I said, "Charge him." And then took him off and made him, put him under close arrest. And he was court-martialed.
What happened to him?
At that time, he had a court-martial, and his defending officer was Lieutenant Willis. And I believe he got 2 years. Mm. 2 years. As a matter of fact, on one of these polar bear news, there was a little article in pencil, and that wrote out by this defending officer. McCulloch, his name, something like that, McCulloch, yeah. Anyway, and as I say, he got 2 years, and that was when we were in Monashot. We came back to Arnhem.
What happened while you were at Valberg? Was there any action?
Quite a bit of fighting on there, and we did patrols, and I went out on a couple of patrols up towards the river. Towards the Rhine, and we used to go up there because some of the parts were still flooded.
So how did you get about when you were out on a patrol?
Well, we had rubber dinghies, which got us over these sort of flooded areas and that, you see, and got up to buildings, cleared that, make sure there's no jetties there, and came back. Because at that time, our patrols were so frequent in that we controlled no man's land.
Mm. We controlled. What the purpose of these was? Was it security?
Well, to find out where the jetties are.
It was like
That's right. And it was what you call something, patrolling to contact. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
then maintaining contact.
That's right. So that they would know where they were. Yeah. And when you went back with your report, and the other patrols came back, the battalion then would know where the jetties were situated.
Did you do any fighting patrols?
Oh yes, I went. Well, that was the one at Ricky Vorsal when we went out there.
When you were at Valberg, did you do fighting patrols?
Yes. Oh yeah, we had a couple of skirmishes there.
Yeah.
And it was because there was a lot of the old paratroopers and that was there as well. And then, of course, we went on to Zetten, which had a good battle at Zetten, the Battle of Zetten. The Lincolns and that was involved in that, and the Glossers and all them. But anyway, we went into Zetten. Mm. Hang on a minute, I've got something here. My old book. Are these done, by the way? Mm-hmm.
What were the enemy doing at Valberg? Were they also patrolling, or were they...
No, they were defending there.
They were defending?
The opposition.
Yes.
And there was paratroopers and all sorts on that lot.
And were they still being active? In
oh, defense? Yeah. There was some there's some damn good fighters amongst that lot, I can tell you. Where are we? That was Ricky Vorsal. That was when they made an attack, and we buried them in the graveyard.
Right.
And next day we found them out on the road.
Because the locals
Wouldn't have them in their cemetery, you know.
Yes.
And that's a Panther tank. It was not there. That's the area on the island, and that as well.
Yeah.
That is at Zetten. This is my company. This is my platoon coming in there.
Yes. What happened to Zetten? It looks so here as though you've got armour in support.
Oh yes, we had armour there.
What was the scale of the attack at Zetten? What was it? A battalion.
Oh yeah.
And what was C Company doing? What was?
Well, we're going as a company, we went in there to take a place. Now, can I show you something?
Yeah.
This is my company.
Yes.
My platoon. That's Sergeant Head.
Yes.
He's, one of the lads. This is in Zetten, bringing the prisoners back. Mm. We took the, church and that there.
Yeah.
And that was what we used as a first aid post.
Right.
And that's across from the Rhine, actually, yes. The Lysel.
So what sort of strength do you think the enemy were at Zetten? Do you have any idea what numbers of enemy were in Zetten when you did the attack on it?
Oh, well, it's quite a lot. There was a parachute regiment in that there, you know. The German paras. We cleared a lot of them out, and we took quite a lot of prisoners as well. Killed quite a few.
Where did they actually do the defence? Were they around the outside of the village, or were
they? Oh, they're inside.
They were in it.
We wiggled them out, you know.
Yes.
And then some got dug in on the outskirts as well.
Yes.
And then we overrun them.
Did you have to clear the houses one by one?
Oh, yeah.
How would you go about doing that?
Well, we went in. We always had the system of how we went in there.
Yeah.
When I went in there, I threw a grenade in.
Mm.
Off it went, and then we rushed in.
Yes.
And anything moved, we shot at.
Yeah.
It just matter who it was, could have been anybody. Mm. But the only people that would have been in there would have been Germans anyway.
Mm.
Of course, they evacuated themselves away from the houses. A lot of them were in the church, of civilians and that. So we went in, that's the way we cleared the houses. Mm. Sling it in, fire in the down in the cellars, slung a grenade down, and they came out.
Mm.
Someone was wounded or killed, and we brought them out, and that was it. And that's the way we got some of them prisoners there.
What impression did you get of those chaps who you took prisoner? What physical condition were they in?
Oh, they were arrogant.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. Very arrogant, yeah.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, there was one officer who came out there, we caught him, and came out, saw what they called me, I said, "I'm an officer," he said, "you respect," I said, "you are a prisoner, bugger off, get in line," and that was it, officer or not, mate. I didn't call him an officer, didn't salute him or nothing. To me, he was just a bloody German prisoner.
Mm. And did your platoon suffer any loss during that action at Zetten?
I think we lost about three or four men there. We had a few casualties within the battalion there.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it looks from these photographs of the island, so there isn't really very much cover to...
Oh, that was flat.
...allow you to an attack.
And, of course, when we used to move,
yes.
You see... The Germans had a marvellous view from Arnhem, which used to look down. Because travelling by day, or moving by day, was just suicidal.
So were your patrols all at night?
No, we actually did them during the day
as well.
But mostly night time.
Yeah. What scale would they be? How many would go out on a patrol?
About nine men.
So it's about a section?
About nine, section men, yeah.
Did you stay in Zetten once you'd taken it?
Pardon?
Did you stay in Zetten?
Oh, yes, we stayed there, and then, as I say, we moved on from there.
Mm.
Then towards the right. Hetron, that was the other place, right
yes.
up there. We used to do the patrols up to there.
That's right up on the riverbank,
isn't
it?
That's right, up on the Bund
just
there.
Just along from Drill.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Was that occupied by the enemy at that
time? Oh, yes, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Did you see anything?
There were mostly paras and that round in that area.
Yeah.
Parachute regiments.
What about the Germans? Did the Germans have any armour at that stage, or was it just infantry?
Oh, no, they had armour as well, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What sort of armour were you getting in support at Zetten?
Well, we had our own armour, which was the Shermans and that.
All right.
And the Germans had the Panthers and Tigers and things like that, you know. Yeah. Yeah. That is a brief one that was rode by Captain Vince.
Yes.
Have you seen one of them at all?
No.
Yeah.
Where were you actually living then during this winter campaign?
Oh, we occupied buildings and farmhouses and things like that, you know, in houses. And that's why we stayed inside them, yeah. Of course, you got shelled and things like that as well, like, you know, but...
Were there cellars that you could shelter in these places?
Oh, yeah, cellars. Most of all these houses out there had cellars, you know, which is more than what you find in this country, you know, you never find them. But the continentals, yeah, there are a hell of a lot of them. They got cellars and that, yeah.
Did you see anything of the local Dutch population?
Not much. We were frontliners, that's it. In the clusters, people used to say they made friends a lot. But when you're right in the front line, you never saw many Dutch, you know what I mean? Because a lot of them